Hello, I'm Fiona MacDonald with the BBC News. The BBC has seen secret files about suspected match-fixing at the top level of world tennis. They show that over the past decade, tennis officials have been alerted to suspicions that 16 top 50 players had thrown matches, including at Wimbledon. 8 of them are due to compete at the Australian Open, which is getting underway in Melbourne. More details from Simon Cox.
The confidential documents include details about a year-long inquiry started in 2007 into suspicious betting, which found syndicates in Russia, northern Italy and Sicily were betting on games thought to have been fixed. 3 of those were at Wimbledon. The inquiry identified dozens of players that it recommended should be investigated. Tennis's anti-corruption body said none of these players were investigated, as it brought in new rules in 2009 which couldn't be applied retrospectively. But the head of the unit, Nigel Willerton, said it had a zero-tolerance approach to all aspects of betting-related corruption.
The aid and development charity Oxfam says the wealthiest 62 people own as much as the poorest half of the global population, 3.6 billion people. The charity claims that rich people hold about $7.5 trillion in offshore tax havens. Here's John Ironmonger.
Oxfam's report shows that the number of people whose wealth is equal to the poorest half of the world's population, that's around 3.5 billion people, has continued to fall steadily from 388 individuals in 2010 to 88 in 2014 and 62 last year. It found that from 2015, the richest 1% of the population had more money than the rest of the world combined. The charity said tackling inequality by ending the era of tax havens should be a priority.
The United States has imposed targeted sanctions on Iranian interests in response to a recent ballistic missile test there. It comes only a day after international sanctions against Iran were lifted, following the implementation of a deal on the country's nuclear program. The US Treasury says the new measures will prevent 11 Iranian individuals and entities from accessing the American banking system. Meanwhile, President Obama said the implementation of the nuclear deal with Iran and the release of US prisoners has vindicated his policy of direct engagement with Tehran. He said the previous policy of shunning Iran had not worked.
For decades, our differences with Iran meant that our governments almost never spoke to each other. Ultimately, that did not advance America's interests.
A televised debate between the Democratic contenders for the United States presidency is getting underway. The two frontrunners, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, have stepped up their attacks on each other in recent weeks. World News from the BBC. US officials in Iraq say they're trying to find a group of Americans who have been kidnapped at capital Baghdad. Jim Muir reports.
First news came in a tweet from an Arab satellite channel. It said that 3 Americans had been kidnapped in Baghdad. American embassy officials confirmed the abduction, saying they were working closely with the Iraqi authorities to locate and retrieve a number of missing Americans. They gave no details of when and where the abductions took place, or how many were in the group taken. Unconfirmed reports circulating in Iraqi security circles said 3 Americans and their Iraqi translator were seized in one of the suburbs on the southern side of Baghdad.
A United Nations panel is calling on Gulf countries and developing economies to contribute more to its humanitarian aid budget. The UN says it's currently spending $25 billion a year helping the rapidly growing numbers of people fleeing war and natural disasters, but needs an additional $15 billion. The panel's co-chair is Kristalina Georgieva.
We are launching our report in the Middle East for a reason. Because 3 out of every 4 appeals that exceed $1 billion happen there, and also because we have not yet succeeded to bring the financing from the Muslim world, from the Gulf, to a point that it is contributing systematically and substantially to filling this gap.
The British singer David Bowie, who died last week, has reached number 1 in the American album charts for the first time. The posthumous accolade is for Black Star, which was released on Bowie's 69th birthday and just 2 days before he died from cancer. He intended the album to be his final artistic statement, and his death has given a poignant meaning to the reflective lyrics of the songs. Bowie didn't have massive commercial success in the United States during his career. BBC News.